When you saw that the message series is on destiny, and you saw Scott and I standing up behind the microphones, I said to Scott, "You be Melody and I'll be Cindy." And we decided that was not our destiny. Thank you. There was a school teacher who had injured his back and had to wear a plaster cast around his upper part of his body. And it fit under his shirt, and when he put his shirt on, no one really knew it. And so, first day of the term at school, he was there, and he had it on, and he was assigned to one of the most unruly classes there. It was really a tough bunch of students in a tough school. But he walks confidently into the classroom, opened the window and let the breeze blow in, and as the breeze was blowing in, he was busying himself about his desk and doing work, and his tie kept flying away. And every time that he put it back, it would fly away because the wind would blow it again. And as he busied himself about that and keeping up with what was going on in the class continued to get more unruly. Finally, he became disgusted with the wayward tie, stood up, picked up a heavy-duty stapler and stapled it to his chest 3 or 4 times. And at that point, he had no problem with routing us in the class for the rest of the year. At that point, he found his destiny, as did several other students in that class. I'd mentioned to you last week I was in Columbus doing Marie Gilman and, it's now Marie Cook, and Derek's wedding. And I got in the elevator, and there was 2 guys that walked in. One person, I'd say about 30 years old, and there was probably the other guy was probably 18 to 20 years old who worked in the hotel, because I could tell he had on a pair of jeans, suspenders, and a bow tie. So I knew he worked in the hotel. And we were just talking, and I mentioned hello to them both. And this 30-year-old guy said, "I've got to go to a wedding." And I said, "I'm going to do a wedding at 6 o'clock, and it's an outside wedding." And my problem was it was raining. And so anyway, we talked a little bit as we went from the 10th floor down to the first floor, and the guy got off, the 30-year-old guy got off, and he said, "Well, good luck." And I said, "Thank you." And the 18-year-old boy was standing there, and he said, "It's going to rain." And I thought, "Thank you for your positive words of faith." But I looked at him, and I said, "The rain is going to hold off during the wedding." And he got out of the elevator and walked off, and I thought, what's his destiny? Where's he headed in life? What does life hold for this young man? Because faith has a tremendous impact on your destiny and on where you're headed and where we're going. If you were to stop and think about the people that have passed by you in life, what impact have they left on your lives? We think about our parents. We think about our grandparents. We think about people that we worked for, people that we've worked with. I was telling somebody the other day, when I was in college, I worked at Sears, and I sold men's clothing. And one of the best people I ever worked for was a guy by the name of John Pappas. And we'd always go down to get a cup of coffee, and he would, because that's when they had the coffee shops and the Sears stores, and we'd go down, and he said, "Black coffee, this time put it in a cup." And, and he had just the driest sense of humor. But I remember things like that, and I remember a lot of what I learned from John. I remember a lot of what I learned from people I didn't like working for. How not to be a jerk. How to treat people with grace. How to be kind to people. And so I thought, when we think about what's the impact that people have had on us, what's our impact on other people? How do they perceive us? Leroy walked up here and said he has a birthday every 10 years. I perceive Leroy as about 12 years old. But what kind of, when we stop and think about it, what have we left with other people? What is our destiny said to them? Do we allow things in our lives and the conditions in our lives to distract us from what the meaning of life really is and what it's all about? Someone said this week as I was reading, said, is it possible we do not spend enough time checking the dials and reading the compass of destiny and its pull on our soul? Do we take the time? If we were wise, and as we talked about predestination and being predestined for purpose, it's my hope that we can all find what is our purpose, what is it that God has given us, because everyone sitting in here today has a gift. I don't care if you're 12 years old or if you're 112. We have a gift that God has given to us. And you know what He expects us to do with our gift? Give it to somebody else. Share it with someone else. We're going to do a series on the gifts of the Spirit after we do one on heaven, which is going to be the next series. But we're going to talk about what are the gifts of the Spirit and how do I find mine, because I have a spiritual gift assessment. And we're going to make that available to everybody that wants it, to really find out who we really are. We all have a mission, and whether we believe it or not, we all have a destiny. We all have somewhere we're going. Someone said, whatever our life assignment is, death loses its license to threaten those of us who are certain we have lived before we face the grasp of death. In other words, death to the Christian has no grasp on them. Death to the person who has looked back over their life and said, I've ran the race, I've done a pretty good job. Like Paul said, he's the one that said, I've run the race, I finished well. I shared that with Derek and Marie in their wedding, that it's easy to start something, but it's awfully tough to finish strong. And it is. It's very difficult. Sometimes some people never do. What motivates us to find contentment in our life? When we see people fully involved in what they're doing, totally involved in it, that's confirmation from God that they found their destiny and they're satisfied in what they're doing. How can someone be interested in being an accountant and dealing with numbers and someone else being totally obsessed with repairing an automobile? But that's what our destiny is. Why can some people pick up a hammer, take a piece of wood and take a wood tool and make a beautiful piece out of it, and somebody else ought to be arrested for picking up a tool? But that's the way it is. That's some people's destiny. We all have gifts that God has wired us to. A lot of people face adversity in their lives, face things that as they live this life, things get in their way. We lose children that we don't expect to. I'm doing a service Tuesday evening for a 42-year-old man that had a heart attack. Talking to his mother, and she says, this is not supposed to happen. I said, you're absolutely right. It's not supposed to happen. But to the person that knows where their destiny is, they can pick themselves up and move through the difficult situation, move through the tough times. Not a lot of people can do that. There's been times in my life and probably times in your life when you're doing something and you look at yourself and it's like, why me? Why am I doing this? I thought about the song, Chris Christopherson's song, Why Me, Lord? When I was doing this, because when we stop and think, why me? Why have I been chosen to do what I'm doing? And if we can't connect the why to the purpose, then we cannot connect the purpose to our destiny. So what are you saying? Well, there's a purpose that we have in our lives, and that's to reach our destiny. Too many people try to pattern themselves after somebody else. And it's the worst thing in the world they can do. Singers do it. How many Elvis impersonators do we have? Brandon, one too many. How many people, I used to watch Saturday Night Live with Joe Piscopo, and nobody could do Frank Sinatra better than Joe Piscopo. He did him better than Frank Sinatra. But, you know, people try to pattern their lives after that. Scott and I were going to try to pattern our lives after a couple people that can sing, and we decided that's not the thing that we want to do. Churches try to do what some other church did. They try to pattern themselves after other things. Ministers do the same thing. Someone said, how many Billy Grahams do we have? Well, the answer's not enough, probably, for what Billy Graham did. And I thought about this, and I said, who do I pattern myself after? And I have no idea. And I'm not even trying to, because I really don't care. And that's the way that I think God intended us, because He wants us to be authentic. He's put a lot of value in you and I, because He made us unique. I am thankful that I'm not like anyone else, and you're thankful you're not like me. That's just the way it is, and that's what we've got something to be thankful for. Someone said that the road to hell is paved with good intentions. Well, I'll do it when my finances get better. I'll find my destiny when my finances get better. I'll find my destiny when the kids get older. They're not around the house anymore. I thought this morning when they were sitting up here, and I actually mentioned it to Tiffany, I think last week or the week before, about talking and kids talking. And the response came back, and you certainly do. But when Breland was sitting up here talking, it was cute when somebody asked him what a role model was. And then I've been sitting there listening to Cole today, and you think, I can't wait for him to talk. And then I can't wait for him to be quiet. That's just kind of the way it is. I'll get it together when I have the right job. I'll get it together when I get some credit for what I've done. I'll get it together when things go better for me. Life will never be perfect. And that's a revelation that we all know. But we have to have faith enough to believe and know that with us and God, anything can be accomplished. So if the road to hell is paved with good intention, the road to heaven must be paved with relentless faith. If one leads one place, the other one has to lead the other place. And I thought this was interesting. If you can see the invisible and you can do the impossible, stretch yourself. Enlarge your circle. Go beyond your comfort zone. Or speak when you're naturally introverted. I thought that was interesting because we're stepping out of a comfort zone to find where we're supposed to go. If you get a chance this week, read the creation story over again. Because there's a line in there that a lot of times I think we miss. We just read through this. But there's a line in there that says that God created every living thing with a seed inside it. Think about that. Every living thing is created with a seed inside it. That's how it reproduces. So too many people look for things outside of themselves to be successful and look for things outside of themselves to make themselves comfortable and make themselves happy when He said it's right inside you. It's the seed that He's given us that creates it. Destiny is so much bigger, I think, than what we have any idea about. And we oftentimes, and maybe too oftentimes, think that all of it's in our hands. The choices are there, the decisions are there, but we have to be led by what is called instinct that brings us to purpose. What orders our steps? To the Christian, to the faithful, it's God. God orders their steps, provides direction, provides all those things into their lives. The world has a couple words for it. One of them's luck. One of them's fate. And I've often thought to myself, and I've often said it to people, good luck. But I'm going to change it to good faith. It's no longer good luck. To the Christian, it's good faith. If you wonder why I'm moving around, my knee's stiff. But it's good faith, and that's really what it is. The problems and challenges we face are distractions from our destiny, but we have to get up and get over it. Legend says that Alexander the Great sat down and cried when he thought there were no more worlds to conquer. The Spanish, when they went back, thought there was no additional land to discover until Christopher Columbus sailed across and found the New World, and then they had to admit that they were wrong. They thought their destiny was already to an end. Albert Einstein, perfect example. Everybody's probably heard of Albert. When he went to go in to get college, just be going to college and take an entrance exam, his parents actually thought that Albert was mentally challenged during his childhood and his developmental years. And so when he applied to this school called the Swiss Federal Polytechnical School, he failed every test he took but math and science. And he ended up having to go to a trade school for a whole year before he could ever take the entrance exam again. But he took the entrance exam and went in. Radio One CEO Kathy Hughes and her husband owned the radio stations. And so when they divorced, she bought out his share, and she struggled at times. Things were hard for her in the beginning. She had to give up her apartment, they said, and live in the studio. But today she owns, and Radio One owns, one of the largest black radio stations in the world. First black African-American woman to own a firm that was publicly traded on the New York Stock Exchange. Got down, got up again, and moved on. People who succeed because they refuse to get lost in the battles that interfere with their pursuit of destiny. We refuse to accept anything other than that. They get up from problems. They get up from issues in their lives, and they get up and move forward. Destiny's a journey. It's not going to get here overnight, nor should it. It's a walk that we take, but we never give up. We never want to quit. We never want to take a look at, you know, at something that's so easy that it's not presented a challenge. Life's about balance. It's about joy. I've had lots of joys in my life. I expect to have a lot more. I've had enough sorrow. I don't want any more of that. But life is filled with joy, and life is filled with sorrow. And those are things that we have to learn to deal with. There are highs and lows in life. 2:30 this morning was a high in my life. Because that doesn't happen often. This morning was a high in my life when that person whose name went across my mind came up here for prayer. That's why we're here. That's what destiny is all about. I read about an eagle. And they said an eagle has eyesight 4 times that of you and I without glasses. I guess they qualified that because I've never seen, or they've never seen, an eagle wear glasses. But they said they can see their prey from miles off. And when they see it, they go after it. They also known to use thermals, not underwear, but air and wind that they get into one of these thermals and they can fly for miles with little or no effort. And what that says to me is this: take what's around you and use it. Take what's within us and use it. It's their instinct that's within them that teaches them to do that. They could teach us to soar to new levels. Take, you know, the mediocre thing that you think's mediocre that you're doing. Learn a skill and do something better with it. Now, Doug's a great golfer. I played golf for years and all I did was get worse. Because I wasn't into it. My heart wasn't into it. Neither was my skill ability. But I didn't have fun. And I played in the league, and that's even worse. And so I looked at that, and I thought, you know, wow. You know, I mean, why am I wasting my time doing something like this that's absolutely no fun, that's miserable, and I end up, you know, I didn't throw any clubs in the water or anything like that, but I just thought to myself, that's kind of interesting when we do that. And I was asked a great question last week, and I thought, you know, it's a great way to close the message. Someone says, does God give you more than you can handle? And then he went on to say, does God give you the ability to deal with what you're given? And I said, well, we have to keep this in perspective. God doesn't give you anything that creates turmoil in your life. He looked at me and I said, well, the Bible says that every good and perfect gift comes down from the Father above. The garbage and that kind of stuff in your life comes from Satan. And I said, what happens is that God gives you the grace to deal with what you're given. And I really believe that. And I think that's part of what destiny is. He also will not give you a vision or destiny greater than what we can handle. Because he gives us the ability to handle what he gives us. And I thought, we just sang it, but I thought it is so appropriate. Why will I believe when you say, your hand will guide my every way? That's destiny. Will I receive the words that you say every moment of every day? And the answer is, I will walk by faith. Let's repeat that. I will walk by faith. I will walk by faith. Let's do it one more time. I will walk by faith. Even when I cannot see, all because the broken road prepares your will for me. That's what destiny is living by faith, looking day to day, Lord, what's the next step? And taking the things that are around us and within us and helping us find our destiny. I'm going to share a Facebook post I saw with Jody yesterday or something, but she's got this 80-year-old friend, lives across the street from her, and she's put his picture on Facebook a couple times, and then she saw a couple the other day, and she commented something on Facebook about the lady's skin and something else. I don't exactly remember what it is, but her attraction for elderly people, for lack of a better term. And I wrote back and I said, this might be your destiny. It might well be. We don't know. But we know God can show us what our destiny is. And pardon me for using you as an, but it's too late now. But that's what he wants us to do, is to just do something that we like. And maybe that's what it is. And if it's not, he'll show us something else that we like. It's been a good day. Love you people. Love being here. Let's pray. Our Holy Father, we are thankful again for your day, for the day that you have made. We will rejoice and be glad in it because you said, I will walk by faith. In your name we pray. Amen.